thanks for joining us today for the Christ Lifestyle. I want you to say this mantra that we've been saying for the last number of weeks. Be one, breed many. Would you say that with me? Be one, breed many. Jesus' intent when he introduced what we now call as the Great Commission or the Great Commission, because we join him in it, was that we would be a people that were like Jesus and would breed others who were like Jesus. I want to read from Matthew 28. We've read it a number of times. I want to read it again. Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make," say that word, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. The Christ life style, it doesn't just happen. It's actually made. The funny thing that I have found in Christianity, and maybe you found this as well, is that a lot of Christians, they spend a lot of their energy explaining on why evolution is wrong. But they actually live like Christian evolution is true. Like, if I'm just Christian long enough, I will evolve into the person that Christ wants me to be. The Christ lifestyle, it's made. It doesn't just happen. And Jesus in this Great Commission, he commanded us to go and make, M-A-K-E, make disciples. And so we've began using that as an acronym. And I want to cover it in the fullest extent. And then each last week we looked at the first one, this week we'll look at the second one. But I want to go over each one because it's important that we really understand that when Jesus is saying, go and make disciples, that there is something specific. There's something that the God of heaven is desiring for us to become like. And how do we get to that place where we are like Jesus, where we live the Christ lifestyle? Well, it starts with ministry. It's that M, ministry. It's a every person, every day, everywhere ministry that God has commissioned us to really do with everyone, everywhere, each day as the body of Christ. It's what separates us from everyone else in the world. We start out in this world living unto ourselves, and then we start living unto him and living for others. That's the M. The A, which we're going to cover in more detail today, is the attachment. It's that discipleship is a relational reality. We learn the life of Christ by sharing it through redemptive relationships. We're going to come back to that, redemptive relationships, such an important phrase. Then comes the K, the knowledge. This is the excitement of the continual discovery. It's the yearning for learning, not just learning for learning's sake, but learning of Jesus in your everyday world of opportunity. Then from that comes the E, the experience. You only really know what you actually do. Now, that may sound funny, but it's so true. You only really know what you actually do. It's not just head knowledge. It's what you do. This means taking a leap of faith and learning as an apprentice the Spirit of Christ. So I want you to remember these: ministry, attachment, knowledge, and experience. These are the ingredients that make a disciple.
Amen to that. Yeah, I do love those because that's what we were talking about in these first couple of weeks, is that this ministry is everybody, everywhere, every day. This is the ministry to which God has called and appointed everybody in the church. And so it's not just, doesn't involve having to preach a sermon or sing a song or lead a group or organize an event or even give some massive amount of money to support something. It's the calling of the Lord for every member of the body of Christ. Everybody who's connected to Christ is called and commissioned to be a discipler. Mm-hmm. And so congratulations, you have been ordained into the full-time ministry as a disciple maker, because that's the ministry. And the attachments that we're talking about today are these redemptive relationships. You used the term, Rich, and it's a It's a wonderful term because to me, we all know that relationships make a difference in who we are and how we are. The Bible speaks of in many places about choosing whom you hang out with, choosing to intend to have good relationships. A companion of fools, it says in the Proverbs, is a foolish person. Mm-hmm. And it's just, you can tell by who they hang out with. In fact, somebody did an experiment where they took the rabble rouser and they just put them in a classroom. And before 15 minutes was up, there was a collection of about six others who were all just like that. And they were able to, it was actually, they were trying to separate out the rabble rousers, the people who would be, prone to misbehave in this crowd by just injecting one of them in there, because these relationships, they draw one another. And so attachments, these relationships, that's what we're talking about when we talk about attachments. Attachments enhance advancement. Mm. They should. Attachments enhance advancement. We mentioned it a few times already in the series, but most people are better at their jobs than they are at their Christianity. And there's a reason for that. It's because they're attached to somebody. They report to somebody. They're accountable to somebody. Somebody beyond just themselves cares about how they're doing in their work, in their everyday work world. And that's really what a redemptive relationship is and what a redemptive relationship provides. It provides this opportunity for advancement. Your attachments can enhance your advancement if they are focused on the right things. Mm-hmm. If they're not focused on how much trouble can we get in, how much can we get away with, what's the legal limit here to have to do. If it's that kind of an attachment, then that's going to lead you in the wrong direction. And I say that because, honestly, there are a whole bunch of people in the kingdom of God. There are a whole bunch of people in pretty much the average church anywhere in the world, and especially in the United States of America, that they are Christian in name. They would tell you that they are believers, but in terms of their actual behavior, their Bible knowledge, their Bible reading, their prayer life, their commitment to holiness or generosity or all of the things that are who the Spirit of Christ is, their experience in the supernatural empowerment of the Spirit of God, their love and care for lost people, their servant commitment is absent in many of them. And so if you attach yourselves to them, it's really easy to just settle down to some really low-level Christian experience and say, hey, I'm pretty much as good as most of the people that I know, which is why we're encouraging you to seek out redemptive relationships. And what a redemptive relationship is a relationship that's not just a low-level one, but where the focus is on growing into knowing Christ Jesus the Lord, growing in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So in the most simple definition, what makes a relationship a redemptive relationship is that the focus of that relationship is Jesus Christ. Mm. It's you and I relating along this level because we're both seeking after an enhancement and an increasing in our relationship with the Lord. And so, like iron sharpens iron, like your perspectives help my perspective, they inform me about things of Christ that I might not know if I didn't have this relationship with you. And so, we're together learning who Jesus is. And so, this is what a redemptive relationship is. It's finding out that Christ is operating in us. And the closer we get to Christ, the closer we come to one another.
Yeah.
The more well we do one for another, the more well we serve one another, we enhance our relationships with Christ. We partner together with the intent that we're going to grow as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're not looking for, just mentor-mentee relationships in that sense. There's a very real sense of mentoring in this mobilization process. But the reality is we can all learn of the Spirit of Christ from one another. And you don't have to be an expert in anything. If you're a step ahead, or if you have maybe an edge on something or a little bit of an advantage, or maybe you've been down a pathway or a certain scripture has just come to light for you in a powerful personal way, well, that experience, that testimony informs me mm-hmm. when I'm going through a situation like that. The peace that you pass through your stuff with informs me that there's a pathway to peace.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's that's a redemptive relationship. And so this is the attachment that we're really seeking out, this redemptive relational attachment.
Yeah, and that really moves us to the prize, which is to know the Lord.
Yes.
That's the whole goal. Mm-hmm. That we know the Lord in every aspect, in every part of our life.
Yes.
And that in fact I years ago invited two gentlemen, a father and son, who had been on the television show, The Biggest Losers. And we set up assemblies in high school, in junior high, and grade school. And every time we had this assembly, you'd look out at the crowd and you would know exactly who had seen the television show. And afterwards, people would come up and they'd be like, and one of them turned to me, I don't remember if it was the father or the son, and they just looked at me and they said, "You never watched the show, did you?" I went, "Nope," because the way I reacted, there was no desire to get to know. There was nothing that brought any awe or splendor of, wow, I'm now meeting that person. Because I knew there are probably people in this world that we would like to meet, but there's no greater person.
Yes,
there's no greater person to know. There's no greater person to be able to visit with. When you know his exploits, when you know what he has done, then Jesus Christ.
Amen. He's the prize.
He's the prize.
He is the prize. He is the one. And so we our entire goal in all of this is to seek to know the Lord. And as we pursue after knowing him, he's going to put us onto a pathway that we can follow. And you're going to talk about this in just a minute. But that pathway is this relational reality, this redemptive kind of relationship that we get into. It is hooking up with someone and getting into a relationship with someone who has a mutual concern with you to know the Lord. Now, this is what it is. If anybody gets into that relationship where I just want to seek after God, I want to know him better. Well, wouldn't I want to be in a relationship with someone then whose faith I admire? Who somehow has a touch of the Spirit of Christ in their life. There's somehow this sense of compassion that just flows through them that we all know people. I hope you know people like this. Yeah, I do. I hope I can become a person like this for others. But we see Christ in them. We see something of the Lord in them, and it's that we're pursuing. This is the prize. This is the thing for which we're going after. We're going after the Lord Jesus Christ because this is as good as it gets. Yeah. To be like Jesus is as good as it gets.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah, that's to know the Lord. I mean, that is what it's all about.
It is. That's the prize.
And it would be nice in some respects, and I think that if when we say yes to Jesus, there's this spiritual syringe and we could just lower our pants down a little bit and let him get in that. Man, we know everything about the Lord. But it doesn't work that way.
No.
The Lord knows that that it's as we're in relationship, that things are going to work out. Things are going to become known. In fact, relationships ultimately are the arena in which all true ministry takes place. So whether I'm looking up to someone going, you know Jesus in a way that I've yet to experience. I want to gain that. In fact, I think there are always people in our lives that, without even realizing it, they have a mannerism. They have something that they say. Like, you know, a friend of mine years ago, one of his favorite things in a conversation, he would just look and go, "Wow." And you knew that, you know, he wasn't going, "Wow, that was great." He's going, "No, that's too big to be true," or whatever. And it's just, and so what I found myself doing is in conversations, I would go, "Wow." And I picked up that mannerism. Mm-hmm. And what you find is that a person that is really patient or more patient than you, and you're in this relationship, then all of a sudden you begin to pick that up from them. You begin to go, I desire that. And what it does, it causes me to turn back to the Lord and say, "Lord, I don't have that kind of patience. I don't know how to love someone who wants to kill me." But they do. They everybody they meet, they just seem to love. And so as I turn back to the Lord, it's through them that the Lord is revealed, and then he begins to impart it in me. And because ultimately the pathway is ultimately about it's about habits. It's about going, I desire to have that part of their life, that part of Jesus in them, be part of me. And what happens is in my in relationships, marriage, in with my spouse, I find that that I lack. And so where am I going to gain? Where am I going to gain whatever I'm lacking? I'm going to gain that from the Lord. But where do I? Where, Lord? All of a sudden, a relationship that I'm in the body of Christ begins to show me that I could treat my wife differently if I have this dynamic of the Lord in my life. Mm-hmm. And so I'm gaining that. It's the pathway that ultimately leads me to a place where I'm really showing that I love the Lord because I'm loving other people. And as that grows in me, then, of course, then I'm moving along in this pathway that allows me to become like Christ. So I'm always attaching to people who I want to become like. Not that I want to become like them in all cases, but the part of Christ that is right in them. But here's the part that we miss, is that that everyone looked like that to Jesus. I want to be like Jesus. The disciples said, "Hey, I see you praying, and we teach us to pray like that." But for Jesus, it wasn't just a matter of him teaching them to pray like that. He wanted them to turn and put themselves in a position where they could be the redemptive relationship. They could be the pathway for someone else. Right. They could say, like Paul said, "Follow me as I follow Christ." And that's the dynamic of be one and breed many. I am in redemptive relationships that allow me to be one. Then I turn and I'm in relationships that allow me to breed many. I put myself in positions where I love sports. I love the competitive nature. And one of the reasons I like the competitive nature is that as we're involved in that, what's in the heart is going to come out. and you really find the things. And so when I'm one time I'm in playing handball with a gentleman, and he is just cussing up a storm and it just began to bother him. Like, "Do you have to do that?" And he says, "Well, I have to get it out there." And I said, "Yeah, but when you get it out there, it gets on someone, and I'm the other one in the court." It never dawned on him. He lived a life unto himself that what he did. And so what other people do is they watch me in the court, and they watch how I respond to adversity, how I respond to defeat. Mm-hmm. And it opens up a pathway for them to be able to see what a life is like to live unto the Lord, even in the sports or the competitive market. So it starts with really the prize, Jesus. Yeah. And then there's a pathway. There's a pathway to that prize, and that is the relationships.
It is. Jesus said it this way. He said, "I am the way and the truth and the life." Mm-hmm. And so he's not just the goal. He's the pathway to get there.
Yeah.
He's the prize to know him more well, to have learned more and more and more the life of Christ. Not just the doctrine of Christ, but the actual habit of Christ, yeah, the attitude that comes of faith, the commitment of the heart, the compassion that moves you to care for someone and serve them. Those are all the aspects of Christ that we prize, that we want. And the pathway that we go on to get them is a relational one, where we're learning that, we're seeing that in others. And when what we see in them encourages us that if one person is doing it, then it can be done.
Yeah.
You know, I spent some years in youth ministry in a variety of settings, and teenagers were always famous for the, "Well, everybody's doing it." And I just loved that mantra, because I could come back with them and say, "You know what? If you don't do it, then everybody's not doing it."
That's good.
It doesn't take a ton of people to stand up against that one. It just takes one person to be able to say, "Hey, you know what?" Because that person then becomes an example of what faith looks like, and faithfulness and good choices look like. And then others have a pathway to follow. If I get in a relationship with that person, if I hook up with them, then we're going to move together in this righteous direction of knowing the Lord. And so there is a prize, there's a path. The prize is Christ, the path is Christ. But then the price, I'd love to say it was just Christ, because he did. He paid it all. Salvation is free. The grace of Christ is a gift from God. Thank God. He did for us what we could not and would not do for ourselves. And there's no way that we react to his gracious gift by trying to pay a price. We gotta do the deed. We gotta work the work. Ooh, I'm working for the Lord from the dawn till setting sun. No. But there is a price tag to this redemptive relational pursuit of Christ. There is a price tag to being in a redemptive relationship. And here's what it is. And let me be as clear as I know how to be. It's the cost of a shared life. Now, I pause because I want us to think about that. We don't think about that. You mentioned the handball guy, and his world is just about as big as his world. Everything he thinks, everything he says, everything that bothers him, that's his whole world. But that isn't his whole world. He is in a relationship with other people around him, and whether he likes it or not, he's not living the shared life. He's just raining on everybody else. He's just spilling out all of his stuff on everybody else. But the cost of being an actual disciple of Jesus Christ, to be one and to be one who is powerful enough to be wanting to breed many, is to say, follow me as I'm following Christ. I have a confidence that this pathway that I'm putting you on is not to somehow control your life. It's not to make me, I'm the giant billboard. This is if you could just be like me. No. We're all pursuing being like Christ. And we know that we're better together.
Yeah.
We're better together at that. If I'm just alone in that, I can get all askew. You can have all kind of blind spots. You can, if you're unchallenged about anything. And so the price that is actually kind of required is to put that out there and to share your life with others, to share your faith, to share your heart, to share your struggles sometimes in pursuing the faith. When I first got saved, and nobody took me by the hand. It was a long time ago. Dinosaurs were roaming the earth back then. But, when I'm a T-Rex, so it's okay. Sorry, I just got distracted there. But nobody took me by the hand. Nobody put me into a pathway like this. Nobody told me about how this actually works. Nobody defined for me what a redemptive relationship should look like. But I could see, even as a young person in the faith, I could see people who just had some level of devotion and reaction and understanding of Christ that drew me to them. It did just a call to my spirit because I loved Jesus with all my heart and I was after the Lord Jesus and I could see Christ in them. And I knew that somehow they had a handle on this. And so it was asking. I pestered them. I just walked into their world and sought after this long before I knew I could call it a redemptive relationship. But that's what I was looking for. Mm-hmm. I was pursuing these redemptive relationships, and I was asking them effectively to share their life with me. Mm-hmm. Share your life's experience with me. It's really interesting to me when Paul writes to the various churches and he speaks to them about teaching others in the faith, whether those are the elders teaching the youngers or whatever it is, but teaching people in the faith, he doesn't speak to them about teaching them, how to memorize the Torah or how to, speak in the Psalms. Or he mentions to them to teach life skills, to teach holiness, to teach some level of devotion, to teach a commitment to a marriage relationship. And this is what we teach. We teach life. And so there's no such thing as a privatized version of Christianity. I love the Lord, and my relationship with the Lord is just my business. No, it's not. A shared life demands that the same Christ you're seeking is the Christ that I'm seeking. And so if we're a step ahead of one another or we're somehow walking the same pathway, shouldn't we be walking this together? Shouldn't we share in this journey? And so the price is a shared life. Remember that we're talking here about attachments. We've been talking. In fact, we're pretty much to the end of talking about attachments, but we're not at the end of doing them. We're encouraging you to pursue these redemptive relationships. But here's the opposite of attachment. The opposite of attachment is detachment. I'm just going to go it alone. just me and Jesus. Whew. Thank God. I am so grateful that it's just not me and Jesus. It's the whole body of Christ, fitly joined together, compacted by that which every joint supplies, that increases the measure of the effectiveness of every part for the glory of God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, let's pray. Father, we pray for redemptive relationships to be the result of this. We pray for a heart and a spirit in everyone who hears these words and who shares with us in this time to just begin to see discipleship in a whole new way and understand that we are in a process of commitment. We're not just waiting for it to happen. We want to make disciples. We want to make something of our lives in Christ. And we do that by pursuing after godly attachments. We do that by pursuing you in terms of the godly relationships, the redemptive relationships that are a part of this pathway on which we walk, because we're seeking after you, Lord God. So we pray that. We pray blessing and just continued grace and understanding and growth in each and every one. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you for joining us today. We are and want to encourage you to take a moment down below and fill out the connection section. If you want to attach in a growing relationship that is helping make you a disciple so you can live the Christ lifestyle, just press that as you fill it out. There's a place where you can, there's connect, grow. Just press that grow plate. We'll connect with you and make sure that you are connected with someone who will help make you a disciple. God bless you, and we look forward to seeing you soon.